Reverend
All
Dr.
right.
Adara Walton.
All right. Most of you know me. If you don't, you will by the end of this service. So anyway, we're going to start, and I'd like to invite you into prayer, which will be followed by a meditation. So I'm going to do our invocation first. Please bow your heads, put your hands on your heart, whatever makes you comfortable. And in the name of divine source, through Yeshua the Christ, in your Christ consciousness, we come this morning and we're asking for healing, for guidance, and for blessings to be bestowed upon everyone that's here, all families, friends, pets, the entire world at this time. We ask that these blessings be bestowed, be pressed down through nothing but love, joy, and peace. And for all here and those who are absent but present in the spirit, our will to will, the will of divine source, through grace, mercy, and love for us all. For this and so much more, I say, Ashe and Amen. And now let's prepare ourselves for meditation. And today I'm going to ask you just to slow your breathing down. Breathe gently. Breathe easily. Breathing in and feeling, I am calm. I am calm. Breathing in calm on the in-breath. Breathing out peace on the out-breath. Breathing in love on the in-breath. Breathing out calm on the out-breath. And if you need for yourself, do a very quick body scan. You can start at the top of your head and go all the way down, coming out through the bottom of your feet, connecting to Earth, Mother Gaia. Or you can start from the feet up from the earth and bring the energy all the way up to exit through the top of your head. Breathing slower, breathing more gently. Now see a light right in the center of your chest. Make it a candle, any kind of light, and I want you to grow it bigger and brighter. As you breathe in, make it bigger, make it brighter. As you breathe out, make it deeper. As you breathe in, make it wider. As you breathe out. Now I want all of us to gather as we enter what is called the Trinity Garden. And as you each approach the gate, it swings open for your arrival. Breathing still deeper and gently, and making your light, because that is what opens the gate, is your light as you enter the Trinity Garden. As you approach the garden, there's a bench. I need each of you to pick up one of each item there. The first is a rose. It doesn't matter. As you enter the garden, you pick up a red rose. Maybe it's pink. It may be white, or one of my favorites, yellow, for the Monsignor. Pick up a rose. And next to it, pick up what I call a joy maker, something that reminds you of a happy time, a party favor. That's the second item. Whatever you pick up is appropriate for you. Breathing deeper and slower. And the third item to pick up is another flower. A peace lily. As each of you enter the garden with your three items, You are going to breathe and bring the energy to yourself, to your heart. Your own light will pull the energy in. And as you breathe, you're holding the rolls that remind you of love. Any and everything reminding you of love, breathe in now and allow the energy to go all through your body to the tips of the toes, all the way to the top, the crown of your head, and exit into the higher light bodies above. Breathing in love, exhaling love. Now the rose will simply stay right with you as it magically adheres to your energy field. And now, forthcoming is your joy maker. And whatever that is for you, it is now front and center as you breathe in the energy of joy, an event, an occasion, a person comes directly to your mind and your heart. You breathe in joy and you feel that joy and ecstasy in every cell of your body. Breathing in joy and exhaling joy. Some of you may even be tingling right now, and that's good. Love and joy in your field and especially your heart. Now, as your light is brighter and brighter, the peace lily comes front and center. Breathe in the stillness of peace. And God said, peace, be still, and know that I am. Breathing in peace and exhaling peace. Allow love, joy, and peace to move through you, around you. They are all of you, as you are love. You are joy, and you are peace. Move during this time and the rest of your day in love, joy, and peace. And know you can come to the Trinity Garden whenever you choose. Your Source Creator only asks that you spend time basking in your light, bringing in love, joy, and peace. For as you bring this in, you will exude this and share with the entire world, your community, the state, your city, your neighborhood, your family, your even spiritual family. And now it's simply time to temporarily leave the garden. Now, as you exit, do not put your Trinity items on the bench. You will take them with you, for whenever you enter this garden, Those items will always await you. But for the blessing that you are and you bring to all today, take them now as you leave the Trinity Garden. As you make your way out one by one, the gate magically closes behind the last one leaving, sealing in the love, joy, and peace that you left there. And when you're ready, coming back into the here and into the now, I want you to slowly keep those three items right next to your heart. And as you start to breathe, coming back up into the here, into right now, open your eyes slowly and gently and shrug the shoulders if you need to. Take your head side to side and be all here right now. Open the browns, open the blues, open the greens, open the grays, open the black. Come on. And if you need to, drink some water. That's right. And rub those feet around the floor. Do what you need to do. So at this point, I think we are done with that. So, Laura, excuse me. Let me get my voice back here. Okay. And it's now my honor. We're going to prepare for the miraculous Meg. Meg Walsamer. I got stuff for both of y'all today. Okay. And we're going to prepare. And as you know, Meg always delivers a wondrous, wondrous service. So we're going to prepare for her sermon this morning with a song. And some of you may know this one, by Simon and Garfunkel, entitled Sound of Silence. But it will be sung and performed by our own song goddess, Laura Stack. Woo!
Thank you for that. Hello, darkness, my old friend. I've come to talk with you again. Because a vision softly creeping left its seeds while I was sleeping. And the vision that was planted in my brain still remains within the sound of silence. In restless dreams I walked alone, narrow streets of cobblestone. Neath the halo of a street lamp, I turned my collar to the cold and damp. When my eyes were stabbed by a flash of a neon light that split the night and touched the sound of silence. In the naked light I saw 10,000 people, maybe more. People talking without speaking, people hearing without listening, people writing songs their voices never share, and no one dare disturb the sound of silence. Fool said I, you do not know, silence like a cancer grows. Hear my words that I might teach you, take my arms that I might reach you, but my words like silent raindrops fell and echoed in the wells of silence. And the people bowed and prayed to the neon god they made. And the sign flashed out its warning, in the words that it was for me. And the sign said, the words of the prophet are written on the subway walls and tenement halls and whispered in the sound of silence.
Well, thank you for that. And I'm just going to give a wonderful, just a short introduction to our wonderful Meg Wolsifer here. And some of you may or may not know she's an ordained, well, you know she's an ordained spiritualist minister. What some of you may not know is she's a spirit artist. She's also a teacher, and she's a certified clairvoyant medium right through our own Indiana Association of Spiritualists at Camp Chesterfield. Now, during her years of study, she has found a real true calling, and she has a passion in helping people get in touch with their loved ones who have passed to the spirit world. And Meg, of course, she acts as a channel, but she allows the guides and the loved ones to come forward. And it provides peace. She provides love, closure, and guidance. And for that loving, wondrous life path that she has, I now bring you Reverend Meg Wolsifer.
Thank you so much. That was absolutely so touching. And I don't know about anybody else, but I'm having a little bit of trouble coming back from the garden. I wanted to stay in the garden. Just so you, it was a beautiful meditation. I needed it, and I appreciate it so much. And of course, the music stylings of our beautiful Laura Stack, you just can't go wrong. You just can't go wrong. Well, I am so grateful to be back with everybody today. It feels like it's been forever since I've gotten to sit in the space with all of you wonderful light workers. And so today I'm excited about what I'm going to talk about, and it's been in the works for a while, so I hope it touches everybody in the way that it's meant to today. So a long time ago, when I was just a wee little lass in a galaxy far, far away, also known as the town of Noblesville, Indiana, I sat in an English class with a middle school teacher. And she required us all to memorize a poem. Like, we had to memorize this poem down to the punctuation. We had to rewrite it until we got it right. I mean, we had to know this inside and out. And once we were able to write it perfectly, she then asked us to think about it critically, to think about what the author was trying to say in this poem. And the answers were vast. And so I'd like to take a moment this morning and share with you this poem that is even today my favorite poem that has really molded my life in multiple different ways. And so the poem is The Road Not Taken by Robert Frost. And it goes, two roads diverged in a yellow wood, and sorry I could not travel both, and be one traveler long I stood, and looked down one as far as I could, to where it bent in the undergrowth. Then took the other as just as fair, and having perhaps the better claim, because it was grassy and wanted wear. Though as for that, the passing there had worn them really about the same. And both that morning equally lay in leaves no step had trodden black. Oh, I kept the first for another day. Yet knowing how way leads on to way, I doubted if I should ever come back. I shall be telling this with a sigh somewhere ages and ages hence. Two roads diverged in a wood, and I took the one less traveled by, and that has made all the difference. Now, the whole premise of the poem is about a traveler seeing two paths in front of them, or two choices in front of you. One may seem to be the easy or the expected way to continue to move forward, whereas the other appears to be less traveled and perhaps leads to the unknown. There's no wrong choice, simply a choice that must be made in order to continue to move. And my favorite part, and side note, I may or may not have it tattooed somewhere on myself, is the section that says, "And I took the one less traveled by, and that has made all the difference." Now, on average, an adult, I want you to think about this. On average, an adult makes 33 to 35,000 decisions each and every day. Doing the math on my calculator, because I'm not a math person, that is over 12 million decisions in a year. 12 million. Now, this could include things like what you eat, what you're going to wear, what you're going to say, how you're going to say it, and so on. And if that number seems a little overwhelming, don't worry. A lot of those are things that we make automatically and simultaneously and in our subconscious minds. It comes from past choices that we have made, things that are easy for us to do, such as brewing my cup of coffee in the morning. It's very easy. I do it every single day. Now, over the course of a day, the more decisions that we have to make, the more mentally depleted we become, to the point where decision overload can turn into cognitive impairment and exhaustion, even to the point where we feel like we cannot make one more decision. You ever come home at the end of the day and your spouse, your partner, or your animals look at you and like, "So what's for dinner?" No, I'm done. Like, I'm done for the day. There's too many choices. Go figure it out for yourselves. Not the animals. They require a little bit of attention. Now, one person who has taken a look at this and gone in a specific direction is Mark Zuckerberg, who is the CEO of Facebook, which is now Meta. Now, he is known for consistently wearing a gray t-shirt every day. It frees his mental bandwidth towards other things. He can focus on what he needs to focus on. He can focus his energy where he needs to, and he can make those bigger decisions that come up throughout the day because he's cleared that space. And in an interview, he explained that he really wanted to clear his life to make it so that he had to make as few decisions as possible about anything except how to best serve the community. It's a really nice way to look at it. He continued to say that there's actually a bunch of psychology and theories that even making small decisions about what you wear and what you eat for breakfast or things like that make you feel tired and consume your energy. Now, I am not Mark Zuckerberg. My mind does not work in the mysterious ways that his does. And I really do love my ever-changing wardrobe. I don't think a gray t-shirt every day is going to work in my life. But I do understand the concept of decisions taking up my energy and your energy. And in reflection, looking at previous selves that I used to be, the times in my life where I had to put on a uniform every day, it did free up my mind to focus on other things. Tasks became a lot easier, specifically in the morning. Is anybody else not a morning person? Not a morning person. Now, my mother will tell you that throughout my entire life, and she has mentioned this more than once, that I have always chosen the hardest path, the one less traveled, hence the tattoo. And it always comes out in that tone, and it's Megan. Please don't call me Megan. Oh, God, it hurts my heart. It always brings her voice into my mind. Megan, why? Why do you always choose the hardest way to live? Why do you always take the hardest path? And I just look at her and I smile. And as I mentioned, this has come up a multitude of times, from being 17 years old and bringing first the army recruiter to my house to talk to my parents. And then when they said no, bringing the National Guard recruiter to my house to talk to my parents so that they could sign the paperwork so that I could join the military. To making the choice to become a mother because it was a choice that I had to make at a very young age. to marrying my wife. Yes, she made those words to me when I chose to marry my wife. Why do you always choose the hardest road? Because I love her and it's worth it. That's the answer, Mom. And now to becoming a medium and a minister. Oh, the amount of conversations my mom and I have around being a medium as well as being a minister and spiritualism. It is, yes, they say you're not supposed to talk about that at the dinner table, but I hope one day she'll be able to at least see my perspective on things. But one of the easiest choices for me to make personally, and it's not easy for everybody, is the choice to be happy, to choose that path that is in front of me that is going to take me to happiness. Now, yes, 9 times out of 10, that is not the one that is full of flowers and a meadow. It is the one that's got the scary trees that are growing over it, or you've got to get your machete out and hack your way through. But the choice to be happy and to find my happiness each day makes the world a brighter place. It isn't easy, but it is a choice that we all get to make. Now, the seventh principle of spiritualism reads that we affirm the moral responsibility of the individual and that we make our own happiness or unhappiness as we obey or disobey nature's physical and spiritual laws. So we choose to be happy based on how we live our lives. On if we follow the teachings of natural law, the laws of the universe, and what they teach us. But simply knowing that happiness is a choice is not always enough. Fully experiencing it still requires that conscious decision to choose it each day. How then might each of us begin to experience the joy of daily happiness? How do you start to choose that path that you are meant to walk on? One possible way to start is to focus on the positive aspects of life rather than the negative. Set your mind on specific reasons to be grateful. This is a wonderful daily exercise to do, and then you can express that gratitude whenever it is possible. You will quickly discover that there is always, always, always something to be grateful for. For example, Indiana, my other Indiana folks, you understand. It is a rainy weekend. Next week is going to be a rainy week. Now, I could be frustrated at the weather because I would much rather be outside and walking on the grounds and doing my outdoor chores that I love to do. But instead, I am grateful because the rain is providing my plants the nourishment that they need to flourish and to provide me with lovely views from my window. They are creating places for the birds to perch and things to create their little nests out of to create new life. And it is wonderful entertainment for my chubby old cats that like to sit in the bay window and stare at the birds like they can actually get to them. So instead of finding the reason to complain or be negative, I am making the conscious choice to find the positive in the situation. And that's just one example. Now, in Buddhism, the Dhammapada 1 through 2 says, all that we are is a result of what we have thought. It is founded on our thoughts. It is made up of our thoughts. If one speaks or acts with an evil thought, pain follows one, as the wheel follows the foot of the ox that draws the wagon. All that we are is the result of what we have thought. It is founded on our thoughts. It is made up of our thoughts. If one speaks or acts with pure thought, happiness follows, like a shadow that never leaves. Buddhism in general persuades and urges us and guides us towards happiness by using knowledge and practice to achieve mental peace and peace of mind, and therefore happiness. They teach that peace of mind is achieved by detaching oneself from the cycle and craving that produces suffering. Well, that sounds super easy, right? And one way that you can move yourself away from suffering, and one way that you can find peace of mind, is through that lovely practice of meditation. It's another way to draw happiness into your life. It is a time, just like what we sat through with Reverend Dr. Adara, that our guides, that the great source, can sit in a space with us and help us to figure out our path, where to go next, what the plan is for our lives and for our soul. Meditation can make hard choices more clear, allowing us to clear up that time and that space to be happy and focus on our energy for larger, important matters. Now, I can't say that I'm always the best one to meditate when I need to, but I do listen when others tell me that I should. For example, there was a time probably 5 years ago while we were still living in southern Indiana, and I was stressed. I can't tell you what I was stressed about, I have no idea, but I know that I was stressed to the point that I was pacing. I wasn't really eating, I wasn't sleeping well. My mind was constantly doing all of those what if outcomes, you know, well, what if this happens and what if that happens? I was talking to my wife about all of these what if outcomes, and finally she looks at me and she says, "Meg," not Megan, she knows better, "Meg, go up to your room and go meditate and talk to your people." And I went, "Hey, first off, wow, I can't believe you're saying this to me." And then a little light bulb went off. And I said, "You know what? I think that that's a good idea." So I did. Trotted upstairs to my little meditation room. I sat for probably 30 minutes, had my music going and all of my meditation regalia sitting in my comfortable little chair. And when I came back downstairs, it was like the weight of the world had been removed from my shoulders. Not because my guides gave me all of the answers, but because I was able to sit in that quiet and find the inner peace in myself. And I was able to allow that inner peace to radiate outwards, removing all of the darkness and negative thoughts that I was holding on to. So that act of slowing and quieting our minds can provide the clarity and the space for happiness to fill back in. And ultimately, if all else fails, if you are struggling to find that happiness and you're just having kind of one of those glum days, something as simple as smiling to yourself in the mirror or to others, not only does it uplift you, but it will uplift those that come into contact with you. Our facial expressions can influence our brain in the same way our brain can influence our face. In other words, you can program yourself to experience happiness by choosing to smile. Not to mention all of the wonderful smiles that you'll receive in return for simply offering a smile first. It is guaranteed to increase your happiness level. So take a moment today and reflect. What are you grateful for? What is positive and bringing joy into your life? Smile at a complete stranger as you are walking down the street. Choose. Make the conscious choice to draw happiness into your life because you deserve it. Look at all of those paths that lay before you, and maybe, like me, you will choose the one that takes you on adventures that are beyond your wildest dreams. And in the words of Abraham Lincoln himself, most people are about as happy as they make up their minds to be. Thank you so much for allowing me to be here today.
Well, what can I say? I have a lot to say about that. Boy, did she pack that in. And you might wonder why Reverend Dr. Dara has her reading glasses on, because I was writing. I don't know if some of you saw, I wasn't writing so many points. One, so I want everybody to have a bunch of takeaways. So I'm just going to go down one, two, because she had so many points for us. One, please go back and read the poem, The Road. Not Taken by Robert Frost. You may find some words in there, okay? And I may be jumping around, Meg, but I'm gonna get it. Smile. Now, some of you may even know there's a song, and I see his face right now. I can't even call the black man's name, the singer, the gospel singer. Smile, just smile. If you haven't heard it, go out and put smile in and find that on the YouTube. Please, the points about Buddhism that she talked about. If you haven't studied or read any of those tenets, please find a basic book, something simple, and read them because those are there and they do. We pray for everybody's enlightenment. And that's how it is. That's how you get enlightened. Okay. And I had some other points. One being, however, the road less traveled. Okay. Take the harder. It may appear hard. It may appear difficult. But as she said, smiling, and there's that's always there for you. Why? Be grateful. She gave several points. And if I keep going, I'll end up doing your talk again. Okay. But be grateful for what it is you do have. And that facial expression, which impacts the brain and vice versa. And it does take less muscles to smile than it does to frown, folks. So take all those words she gave us to heart, okay? And find your happiness and your peace based on the wisdom she brought today. That's my takeaway for myself and sharing with all of you, as we say. Okay. So at this point, we're now going to end the recording and we move into the what we call the second half of our service.